This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is an articulate spokesman in the media and before legislative committees on conservative and pro-family issues, and was named one of the 100 most important women of the century by the Ladies Home Journal. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The Obama administration has taken over major parts of our economy, so now the bureaucrats are eager to take over what public schools teach our children. Former schoolteacher and author Orlean Kerla explains their current goal, why you should be concerned, and what you can do about it. Her new book is called Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform. This national takeover of school curriculum was cleverly named Common Core State Standard Initiative, so it sounds as if it were developed by the states. But that's not true. It was developed by trade groups and corporate interests that will make a lot of money from its implementation. The Obama administration induced 46 states to give up local control of their English and math curricula through a clever carrot-and-stick method, a combination of bribery, waivers for the hated No Child Left Behind Act, and threats to cut off future federal grants. Left out of the development of this new curriculum were parents, local and state school boards, and state legislatures. The price tag to adopt Common Core standards is enormous. It's also important to note that Common Core standards will not make kids any smarter. The math standards are so substandard that the only real mathematician on the validation committee refused to approve them. He said that Common Core standards are 2 years behind international expectations by the eighth grade and then fall further behind in grades 8 to 12. The math standards downgrade the years when algebra and geometry are to be taught. The name of this very useful book is Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform, and the author is Orlean Kerla. Parents, go to Eagle Forum's website, eagleforum.org, for more information about Common Core.
College students, you're invited to the 20th annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit on July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. Get equipped to combat the liberal ideologies of multiculturalism, diversity, and feminism on your campus. Network with conservative leaders. Register in advance, and the conference is free. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes GMO-free vegetables and fruit, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
It is Wednesday, August 7th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thank you for joining me today on RBN for people who can't handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. RBN is now associated with Cumulus Media Network's Satellite Services, which provides a 24/7 satellite channel to RBN on XDS. Cumulus Media Networks has provided XDS receivers to more than 4,000 stations, each of which has the capacity to pick up any RBN program. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Another site that I wish to call your attention to is SpingolaSpeaks.info, which was created by one of our wonderful listeners. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. Rodney, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Deanna, from California. I'm just not sure what California is anymore. People's Republic, Socialist Workers' Paradise, but it's, you know, I think it's even gone further than the left coast.
Indeed. Well, I grew up in California, and I love the climate. It's fabulous climate. You could have wonderful gardens, but it has changed since I left.
Yes, socially it's changed, and you are correct about the climate and the gardening. You know, one thing I take pride in is when, you know, if I get overly stressed, I go out and out on my property and work on the landscaping. I do love beautiful landscaping, so I do that as a kind of one of those stress releases. But you're right, the climate provides for that almost year-round. With very few exceptions, but it's a sad state because I think what's happening to California and even Detroit is going to, you know, find its way all over the United States unless we do something to just put this Marxist march in check.
Sure. All righty. Now you do have a clip that you would like us to play that is in connection with what you are going to talk about today with Czechoslovakia, and
Can I preface that clip? And I wanted, you know, this topic came about by, as do a lot of the topics that we've talked about on your show, Deanna. It comes from the listeners, and this one specifically resulted in quite a lengthy email exchange where a listener asked me a couple of questions, and I provided the answers, and it grew and grew and grew, and I shared it with you, and I think we both decided it'd be an outstanding topic because the truth between Germany and Czechoslovakia and the geopolitics that were in play in 1938 and early 1939 has been so misrepresented. The term you hear from the court historians is the rape of Czechoslovakia. And that's just absolutely not just not correct at all. Czechoslovakia was not raped by any means. And there are a lot of Czechs today, and of course there's been some recent events in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. It's now divided in the same manner in which the Germans divided it when they were invited in to create a Reich's protectorate. The map of Czechoslovakia today reflects the map that was drawn up in March of 1939, where Slovakia became independent nation, got the Slovak people got self-determination, and the Czechs, the Czech Republic, is basically mirrors the borders of the old Bohemia and Moravia, with the exception that the Sudetenland, which should be German, was granted to Germany in a treaty signed by Britain and France and Italy, was returned illegally after the war. But here's my point: is the Czechs themselves understand? Czechs themselves understand that one, the massacre and removal of their of Germans after the war by the communists, and specifically Beneš and the communists, was wrong. And there's been a lot of Czech authors and what we would call the Czech truth movement that has exposed a lot of the more graphic videos that have come up in the last few years, Deanna, have come from very courageous Czech scholars who have found these videos in tin cans and made them public and said, that was wrong. What Beneš did was wrong. And and then recently, a very prominent Czech author published two books, actually. We'll talk about that in the show. But the clip I'd like the listeners to hear, this is a young Czech man who's walked out, and he's he's doing a video presentation. It's not very long, of the first major infrastructure project in what was then Czechoslovakia. Now, keep in mind, this project is in Bohemia and Moravia. This was not in the Gau Sudetenland, which was part of the German Reich at the time. The Germans were building and investing in the Reich's protectorate, and actually the Czech, I'm not going to say any more because I want the listeners to pay very close attention to what he says, where he talks about what the Czechs had under as a Reich's protectorate under the Germans, as opposed to what they got after the war. I'd really like your listeners to pay very close attention and with critical listening to what this young Czech says.
Okay, now we are going to have to play it after the break because but as you say, I did listen to it, and there's some. We are going to also link it on the description page, and I believe you're going to link it on your site, and I will link it on my schedule page, because you really do need to see what he is referring to, because if you were to listen to it with your eyes closed, you do hear a lot of breathing. He is walking. He's obviously tired. He's walking through forest and a lot of heavy growth, and so it's really better to watch it as you listen to it, but certainly what he does say in regard to what they had after the war, as to what they could have had Hitler been able to finish that highway and to do some of the other projects, would have been quite different, absolutely different.
Very good. Well, they were 20 years ahead. The first, this is a description of a major highway, an Autobahn project that the Germans were constructing in Bohemia and Moravia. And for purposes of this discussion, I'm going to make the reference to Bohemia and Moravia, which is the present-day Czech Republic. The Sudetenland was already part of the German Reich. But what this young Czech says is that the reconstituted Czechoslovakia, keep in mind, post-1945, the communists, Soviet Union, the Allies forced the Slovaks back into a union with the Czechs, which they did not want. Then, of course, there was the expulsion of and the ethnic cleansing of the Germans from Bohemia and Moravia. And we're going to learn during this broadcast that the Germans weren't just in the Sudetenland. There was a considerable number of Germans in Bohemia and Moravia. We're going to learn about the composition of the Czech military, which is actually in a lot of respects superior to the Polish military. So if this was a hostile invasion by the Germans, the Czechs, even after losing their frontier fortifications, which were in the Sudetenland, to Germany, the Czechs still could have resisted this so-called rape of their country. It certainly was not a rape of their country. But getting back to this video and audio clip that we're going to play after the break, the first highway constructed in Czechoslovakia didn't happen until the mid-1960s. The Germans were constructing major highway projects in Bohemia and Moravia in the Czech protectorate. They began construction almost as soon as they established the protectorate in March of 1939. So to say that this also is a testament to other misstatements about German, so-called German occupation. Bohemia and Moravia was not per se a German occupied nation, it was a Reich protectorate, but the Germans invested millions of Reichsmarks in the development of Europe as a whole.
All righty, when we get back from our break, we will play that clip. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin, the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. Okay, let's go ahead and play that clip. Okay, just a moment. We just need to let our producer get to the other screen here, and he will play that clip. And this is about a young Czech man, and he's walking through the forest, the greenery, a lot of growth around this, probably serves to hide all these all this construction because these. Go ahead.
And this was 2012, Deanna, or 2011. It's very recent. It's within the last 24 months.
Okay. Okay, we got it.
Okay, so we are at Southern Moravia, close to city of Uherské Hradiště. There's a highway what Nazis start building over here in the mountains. It's supposed to go all the way to Zlín and Slovakia and I think to Krakow. The work was abandoned in 1943, months after the Battle of Stalingrad. I guess there's a kind of money issue, but if Hitler won a war, and he probably built his highway around 1948, so in Czechoslovakia, we had the first highway in the late 1960s. So, you know. So these are like, you know, let's say in English, the kind of, it's supposed to, because this is the hills, I mean, the mountains here, so they need to build this. So, you know what I mean? So, this is supposed to be Adolf Hitler Highway, you know, it's got all of these. This Southern Highway, I mean from Krakow to in Vienna. It looks like a bunker. It's not, there's not bunker. It's a lost highway in Czech mountains, Moravian mountains. There are lots of these over here. I think they were built from 1943, all around this area. They just wait for the basically finish. It's supposed to be done around 1948, so. But instead of Hitler Highway, we had a Bolsheviks occupied our country. So instead of highways, we had a political prisoners and communism. After the coup of 1948 in Prague, around Czechoslovakia. So, I guess, you know, I might just walk over there.
That's it. So, well, Rodney.
He speaks for itself. Now, I want to correct myself. I thought he had said when I had first watched that video, and I think it's powerful. It's powerful evidence on a number of fronts, and I want to focus on this video, then I'll get into the background and the geopolitics. But the young Czech man indicated it was the late 1960s before Czechoslovakia got its first highway.
Right.
So I said mid-60s, so I could have been off by 2 to 4 years, whereas he indicated that this highway was the construction began in 1939. Well, the Reichsprotectorate of Bohemian Moravia, which encompassed the present-day Czech Republic, absent the Sudetenland, was established in March of 1939. So that means that the Germans began significant infrastructure improvements, which bled over to, you know, jobs and all sorts of economic development, what we would call economic development. I think it's really important that we look at this in proper terms, you know, in the Czech, in the protectorate. Began as soon as they arrived. They began improving the protectorate. When Adolf Hitler met with President Hacke in the Berchtesgaden, this was after the Munich conference. He made a promise, and he said that in exchange for establishing the protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, which we'll talk about how that came around. Czechoslovakia would enjoy a generous life on her own, meaning the Czech people, her own autonomy, and a large degree of national freedom and self-determination. That's Hitler's quote, and almost everybody that was in the room agrees with that statement. We can't ask President Hacke, because he was immediately arrested by the communists in 1945 when the Soviets arrived and they brought the Red Benesh back. They put him in prison, and he mysteriously died in prison. And there is considerable evidence that he was murdered in prison. So we can't ask him, but the other persons in the room gave every statement that that was Hitler's promise. Now, here is some evidence from this young Czech, who indicated that that was, by all accounts, that was true. He also made a statement in that video, in that recording. And of course, he was, you know, his English was very good.
Oh, absolutely. It was very good.
He made a statement that they received Bolshevik occupation, communist occupation, after the... He never referred to the Germans as occupiers. This is an ethnic Czech making these comments. This young Czech on this audio clip that the listeners just heard, you notice the distinction. He said, instead of highways and, you know, of course you can make, you know, can draw other comparisons, the Czech people got Bolshevik occupation, and instead of infrastructure, they got political prisoners. So clearly, this young Czech, who's, you know, makes these videos and is, you know, a pseudo historian almost, does not consider the German protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia as an occupation or as a conquest or a rape of his country. He most certainly makes the statement that what happened to the Bohemia and Moravia, with the forced integration back into the artificial Czechoslovakian state, was indeed an occupation, and there was political repression under the Soviet boot. So here we have, you know, there's one person. Now, of course, there's been some very interesting developments just in the last 2 weeks with some very well-respected and mainstream Czech authors. But let's go back a little bit and put this in the overall context. You know, and this starts in 1938. And in 1938, I think, it was a powerful year, for Germany, you know, and for Europe. There were some significant changes in the German high command. Blumberg was out because of his marriage. Fritsch, who ultimately was acquitted, he had been accused of violating morals laws as the army, what we would call the army chief of staff. He had been replaced. So there had been new Wehrmacht leadership. That was the ascension of Field Marshal Keitel to take over Blumberg's position. And by the way, we're going to break. We'll pick it up.
Yep. Going to a break. We'll be right back. Actually, we'll be back at 33 minutes after the hour. Be right back.
These annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Welcome back. Deanna, our guest today is Rodney Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org. All right, you're going to tell us about the protectorate, right?
Protectorate, yeah. And we're putting it, you know, in the geopolitical terms in 38, there was significant, there were just significant events that all accumulated in 38. And these are fascinating, which, you know, all leads up to establishment, you know, the unification of the Sudetenland, which was vastly German territory, back to Germany, agreed upon by international treaty. But then we're going to learn, and this is going to shock everyone, who actually first proposed German presence and establishment of a protectorate type system in Bohemia and Moravia. I'm going to bring that up here in just a minute. But putting all of this into context, and, you know, 38, early 38 accumulated into the Munich Conference in September of 38, you had like I said, you had the change in leadership of the Wehrmacht High Command. And then in February, you had the Anschluss, the Austrian unification with Germany, which they had tried to do in 1919. And I want to remind the listeners that even Weimar was prepared for Austrian unification. I have, on my website, we finally got my website redeveloped, and there's a page on there just for all these source documents, and we're loading them up as fast as we can. In some cases, we have to scan them and get them up there. So just keep checking back the reference library page on my website. There is going to be a tremendous number of original documents. In that, on that page is the Weimar Constitution. And in 1919, when Weimar drafted their constitution, they made provisions for the incorporation of Austria. So every, you know, that should have happened in 1919. Well, it finally happened in April of 1938. You had actually, Hitler's trip to Rome in May, which solidified the Italian alliance. And then you had this interesting conference. It was called the Evian Conference in July of 38, where a bunch of representatives from various countries were, you know, very concerned. Almost it was basically a front for the World Jewish Congress to confront Germany's racial policies. And the conference was a failure. Everybody said, you know, it's none of our business. You know, what a nation state does within its own borders is their own business. That conference was an utter failure. Then you had coming up, and this is where we're actually going to bring start up. You had Chamberlain come to Gottesberg and Munich for the Munich conference, and what was happening was the Czech in what was then the Czech Sudetenland, the German majority, it was majority Germans, were advocating for separation from Czechoslovakia and unification with Germany, especially after the Anschluss, after Austria came home. Everybody was in near agreement. There was really no serious disagreement that Sudetenland should have been. There was no really disagreement that Austria had a right to join. But there was no serious disagreement that this was an act of self-determination. You have 90% German population. And interestingly, you can look in various books, and of course, there's some very good books out. There's a big, huge book called Europe, A History by Norman Davies that talks about it. There's a very good book called 1938, Hitler's Gamble by Giles McDonough. And again, as I've said in prior shows, Deanna, because of court historians and Marxist political correctness, you have to look at these books through the lens of looking for diamonds in the cat box. You actually have to hold your nose and dig through a lot of excrement before you can get some very good information. They kind of let stuff slip through, and that's the case in a lot of these sources. There's also another book called Munich 1938 by David Faber, which has some excellent diamonds in that cat box. But you had the Sudeten Germans that were just absolutely they were going to become part of Germany no matter what. And to give you an example, National Socialist Party, NSDAP membership as a percentage of the population in Germany proper was never more than 10%. In the Sudetenland, it was 20%. Thus, the Gau-Sudetenland, which would become, that's what the Sudetenland became after the Munich Conference, was actually the strongest Gau in terms of NSDAP membership as a percentage of population. 20% were registered members of the NSDAP as opposed to no more than 10% in Germany proper. It's an amazing statistic. It goes to show you the enthusiasm in the Sudetenland. There was also a significant number of Germans still in what would eventually become Moravia, Bohemia and Moravia, in what was Czechoslovakia proper. There was a lot of integration as far as Germans in Czechoslovakia. Bear in mind, Czechoslovakia had been part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The Czechs had done very well under what we would call German administration. You know, in that case, the Czechs were under the Austrian administration during the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And you had this sliver. You had all of these diplomatic successes that Germany was enjoying in 1938, and what Germany was doing was rolling back incrementally the injustices of the Versailles Treaty. And what's a key point And I'll bring up the exact quote. In November of 1937, both Halifax and Chamberlain made statements that are actually recorded in British documents, and this is actually in the McDonough book, that they were not opposed. Now, this is November of 1937, that Halifax had communicated to, at that time, it was von Neurath was the foreign minister, and then on to Hitler, that Great Britain was not opposed to revision of the Versailles terms with regard to Austria, Czechoslovakia, and Danzig. Let's keep in mind this. All of a sudden, there was a change in British policy where, you know, they were going to go to war over Danzig. Now, in 1937, a mere 2 years prior to 1939, Lord Halifax had told the Germans that they were in support of revising the Versailles Treaty terms. And that's what was taking place in 1938. Sudetenland came home. There was tremendous pressure inside the Sudetenland against Beneš. Beneš was the president of Czechoslovakia at the time. He was a leftist. He was an extremist. But he also was out of touch. And this is where we get into the overall argument, and I should say argument, clarification as to the proper political relationship between Czechs and Germany. Beneš
was... Then also, getting back to Britain, even though Lord Halifax was in agreement with the Munich Agreement, you had Churchill who gave a statement, some 12 days later, in a broadcast to America, saying that he disagreed.
Well, there you go, Dan. And I was going to bring that up, and you bring an important point up. And that is, you had the British government who was looking geopolitically in Central Europe in much the same way at that time as the Germans were. There was another party that was playing. Now, keep in mind, we made the case that, you know, the British and to a large degree Stalin would use these states as chess pawns against the Germans. They obviously used Poland and miscalculated. Poland miscalculated horribly. Of course, there were several variables of Poland. There was a change in leadership and such, and they bought in, and they were a willing partner. They were not a partner. They were a willing game piece in this power play chess game. And of course, in the background was Franklin Delano Roosevelt pulling the strings as well. But the Czechs were very much aware, the people, the intelligentsia, the academics, and including President Hacha, who was very well respected in Czechoslovakia. He was a key figure from the very beginning in the judiciary. He was a jurist. He was a thinker. Now, he is made out in history as being some senile old man like they've termed President von Hindenburg is, and then someday I want to do a show just on President von Hindenburg. He was clearly not senile. He was more in tune with the pulse of the population, including the Czech military. We're going to talk about the Czech military and the composition of the Czech military. The Czech people did not, you know, they weren't fans of being chess pieces in this geopolitical chess game where you had the Soviets to the east and then you had Britain and France trying to use Czechoslovakia, which if you look at a map, Czechoslovakia is like a spear right up into the gut of Germany. And that is the whole reason why they created this artificial state called Czechoslovakia in 1919 at Versailles. There wasn't any great love for the Czech people. They said under the auspices of self-determination. Well, if they believed in self-determination, they would have made sure the Sudetenland was German then, and they would have made sure that Austria, who had declared themselves part of Germany, Austria went so far as to declare themselves part of Germany, and Weimar incorporated into their constitution, that would have been self-determination.
Right. All righty, we are going to a quick break. We will be right back.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling.
You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000 during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes GMO-free vegetables and fruit, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. And would you mind listing those books that you talked about in the last segment?
Yeah, I'm using several texts. One of them is called 1938, just the year 1938, Hitler's Gamble by Giles McDonough.
Okay.
And then there is some great material, and it's a comprehensive, it's a huge book. It's called Europe, A History by Norman Davies. And then there is a book, Munich, 1938, by David Faber. And again, we're talking, Dan, put this in perspective, looking for diamonds in cat boxes. But there is also a Czech publication that I located when I was doing some research, and a friend of mine in the Czech Republic sent it to me, and I'm going to put – it's only in PDF. It's 96 pages. It's obviously pro-Czech, but again, using the diamond and the cat box analogy, there's a lot of information in there as to the political structure and the German administration of Bohemia and Moravia, and the fact that Operation Anthropod, the assassination of Heydrich, was never homegrown. That was done externally with Benesch safely in London. And we're going to talk about Benesch, because this whole – there was a question in the chat room that said, where did the idea of the protector – why was the protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia established? And before we went to break, we talked about that there was a lot of geopolitical concerns, and in 38, National Socialist foreign policy was basically aimed at two objectives. One, they were going to roll back these unfair terms of the Treaty of Versailles in terms of land and territory. They had already rolled back the Versailles Treaty in terms of economics. They had restructured all of the demands and all the predatory loans that had been made by the Weimar government. All of that had been taken care of. But if you look at, and of course, Austria was then part of, had become part of Germany as well. But if you look at Czechoslovakia, it is like a sword up into the gut of Germany. And the whole intent of that strategically by the Allies was to have a state in which they could actually launch military operations into the heart of Germany. The Czechs, with British financing, had constructed tremendous, had built a very impressive military. They had built very impressive fortifications along the Czech-German border that I think were probably, there was a German report that came out where they analyzed the various defenses and capabilities, and they actually found the Czech border defenses, when you factored the geography and topography of Czech, to be superior than the French and Polish defenses. Czechoslovakia had the famous Skoda works. They produced very good weapons, submachine guns. They were producing light armored vehicles. They were producing medium bombers. So Czechoslovakia was in a position, I think, is probably a lot better than Poland militarily, if you look at this militarily, if you buy into the argument that this was truly an invasion, which it was not. You know, Poland had the unfortunate geographic situation of being surrounded on three sides. Germans could launch an invasion from Pomerania, Silesia, and East Prussia. That wasn't the case with Czechoslovakia. Also, getting back to the comments you brought up, and we need to explore that just a little bit, you had the official British government, you had Chamberlain and Halifax signaling that they were amenable. They agreed that the terms of Versailles relative to Austria, Czechoslovakia, and Danzig, you know, should be revised. There was also internal documents, which you can get, which I'm going to post the discussions. As a matter of fact, Faber cites them. Both Faber and McDonough cites them, that the British concluded, because Benesch was a leftist and a red, and Benesch had this flirtation with Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union, that a German influence in Czechoslovakia was far superior to the Soviet Union. That was the British policy. Even the British in 1937, early 1938, was looking for the Germans to be a bulwark against communism. They knew that Stalin had designs into Europe. He had tried to, you know, basically establish Spain as the first Soviet satellite. He was making tremendous feelers with Benesch and Czechoslovakia. He would love to have had Czechoslovakia as a Soviet satellite. And Yugoslavia. Stalin was also intriguing in Yugoslavia as well, particularly with the Serbians. You have his history, the Serbian, even to this day, you have his history with the Russians in Serbia. So you have a lot of geopolitics going on, but ultimately there was three things that happened that people really don't talk about. The British had no problem with either the Germans, the unification of the Sudetenland with the Greater German Reich, And ultimately, they had no real issue with the German influence in Czechoslovakia as a whole politically. They told Beneš this. Beneš was getting all of this political pressure from the ethnic Germans, both inside the Sudetenland and outside. And you hear of the famous, of course, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I want to put this in context. You hear of the famous meeting at Berchtesgaden between President Hacke after he seceded Beneš. We're going to talk about how that happened. But you talk about you know, Hitler was bullying him and screaming at this little old man, which is completely false. There is no reports of Hitler ever bullying anybody. Quite the opposite. People described him, even Schuschnigg described him as a rather mellow Austrian. That's how Chamberlain described him as well. There just wasn't. This is a fallacy by the court historians, and the whole story of Hitler bullying and beating up verbally abusing and intimidating President Hacke all comes from one court historian, Richard Evans, and we all know that he has a tremendous agenda of painting everything that was done diplomatically with the Third Reich as being some sort of conquest. I don't know how he gets over the fact that his own country, Britain, legally signed a treaty and agreed with the transfer of the Sudetenland to Germany. They were signatories of that agreement. They blessed the reunification of Austria. Their original position was that Danzig should even be reconsidered as well. And now he goes to great lengths to write books that says that Adolf Hitler summoned President Hacke ahead of another state to Berchtesgaden and then bullied him and intimidated him. There are a couple of things that are true. Hitler was watching a film and did leave Hacke sitting a little bit, but he did that to everybody. That was part of his personality. There was a situation where President Hacke collapsed. He was an old man, and the written notes that were published by David Irving afterward, Hitler's physician indicated that he did give President Hacke an injection of glucose. That would indicate that, you know, as an old man, his sugar probably dropped. So this whole idea of intimidation and bully, it's just there's nothing to substantiate it except this court historian with an agenda, Richard Evans.
Well, you brought up the subject of court historians. There are a lot of court historians. I belong to a subscription site where you can look at all kinds of books. It's Questia.com. I have a subscription there. And so I just went to the site, and oh my goodness, the court historians that are listed there, there's one, Robert J. Caputi, who wrote Neville Chamberlain and Appeasement. And to read the introduction, oh my goodness, it's just the official version of things. And
well, sure.
You will find that a lot of the court historians typically work for universities, and their work is published by university presses.
Well, sure, you're absolutely correct, and they're basically paid. They're paid propagandists, and if you go back and look in their source page, a lot of times they're just regurgitating some of their own works. They're citing themselves as sources or in prior books or fellow court historians. That's my key. When I look at a book, whether I'm going to buy it or not, if there is some citations to original documents or some credible sources, I will buy it. I will hold my nose as they're editorializing and look for that diamond in the cat box. But you're absolutely correct. And
I also look to see who wrote it, because there's a list that I discovered that tells you all of the Jewish authors.
Oh, sure, sure.
And I think it's important to recognize that when it comes from a Jewish author, then there's a question.
Well, then you
Alrighty.
Just put it back.
All righty. We are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 past the hour. Stay tuned.